You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, we've chugged our energy drinks and we're ready to give you a high energy good time show here at Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that talks about all your favorite pop and geek culture stuff. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm tired.
It's supposed to be high energy. I said high energy at the start.
Hey, my exhaustion is high energy.
It's wrapped back around.
Yeah, it's looped around. Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
I'm Josh.
I just say that was Josh. And that was Samantha.
Hey, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you this week. We have a little bit of news. We also have an interview with Josh Nealis, the creator and owner of Cutthroat Comics, a local comic book creator and distributor and everything.
Out of Findlay.
Out of Findlay, based out of Findlay. That's right. So that we have that coming up in the second half of the show. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
I've been checking out this Kickstart.
Yes, I have also been checking out a Kickstart. We have, yes.
Mountain Dew Kickstart, not the crowdfunding platform.
No, definitely not that. No. I can do my checkouts real quick because there's not a lot of them. I went down to Cincinnati for the second ever Cincinnati Underground Secret Show. Or I think is that what it is? Society Show.
Society Show.
That's what, well, yeah. Cuss. If you remember about a month ago, we all talked about very briefly about going down there to that. I think it's safe that we can discuss a little tiny bit more of what it is, although not like give any crazy specifics. The long and short of it is it's a comedy show that is hosted by Travis McElroy of the My Brother and Me McElroy podcast.
Empire.
It's like a comedy talk show.
That's kind of what it is. And it's everything goes to a good cause down there, which is great. That's what I really enjoy about it. But it's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, can't talk about any of the guests that were there this month because those are supposed to be kept a secret.
You're
just
not
for
allowed.
The people. Yeah, it's just supposed to be for the people who show up. That's part of the fun, is that, you know, either you know, and if you don't, well, then show up to the next one.
Yeah, and it's always a surprise.
It's always a surprise. They never announce any of this stuff. I think it's super great. I would suggest anyone going down there. I think after this month, they're going to start going to bi-monthly, which is going to make it so much easier to get down there because, like, I love comedy. I love, you know, going on adventures, traveling places, but, like, 2.5 hour drive
every month is
a lot.
Yeah,
that is kind of a lot, but no, really enjoyed it. Beyond that, the only other thing I can really get into, and I'm not going to get into it because I know the kind of heat that I take from talking about Japanese Power Rangers. You guys, you don't have to press the button.
No,
your hand's on the button.
Hey,
I know.
I will chop that hand off. Sentai is a national treasure.
Well, I just hit the button because I realized
that dark.
I've been watching the first couple episodes of the newest series, Lupin Ranger versus Power Ranger.
Oh man,
and it is
Lupus Ranger.
Yeah. They all have lupus. That's it. Yeah, it's never lupus. No, the series is a lot of fun. It's interesting in that this season, instead of having one big team that works, has like a unified front against the monsters, you have three characters that are like criminals, like thieves, and three that are like police officers.
So it's like cops and robbers.
It's like cops and robbers themed, yeah. So they're both going after the monster group.
It's cops and Robertsons themed.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Cops and Robertsons, yes. But no, they're both going after the monster group. The thieves want to steal these artifacts that the monsters have that give their monsters like extra powers or whatever.
Makes their monsters grow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yes. And the cops are going after the monsters because they're also criminals. And also
and monsters.
The cops are against the good guy, like the gentleman thief characters.
Hence the Lupin.
The Lupin, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it's based around Arsene Lupin. Like, they name check it constantly. In fact, the artifacts that they're getting from the monsters are the Lupin collection. And they're like different things, in theory, he used during like his stories and stuff. Like, there's a lighter that made a fire guy have extra fire powers or something like that. And it references old Lupin books, but it also references past Sentai seasons. So, like, the design on the one I picked out, again, with the lighter, the design on it looked a lot like the Red Ranger from, It was Lightspeed Rescue in America. It is...
Go-Go 5?
Go-Go 5, yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Where the Red Ranger was a fireman. So they kind of subtly hint at past seasons
now
within it.
Have they made reference to Lupin the Third?
You know, they haven't gotten far enough into it yet, but I'm guessing they might.
They would have to. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very long-running and famous anime.
Yeah.
Also, that new season is so good.
Oh, it's just so good. The animation is excellent. And
cool.
The Fujiko miniseries, very good.
I see. I've heard that. Now, I'm not an anime guy, but that sounded pretty good. I might have to check that out. But anyway, those are my check-it-outs. It's not a lot, but
I really like the design on the Lupin Rangers.
The Lupin Rangers have the stronger design for sure, but the cops have a special ability that the robbers don't have. You know how the cops have like the red colored bars in between the white bars on their uniforms?
Yeah.
Their final attack, the three of them merge into one super cop, and the three bars are the three colors of the cops.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then RoboCop bursts out of their chest and shoots all the Lupin Rangers in the head with his big gun.
He would shoot them in the junk.
Yeah.
Do you remember that RoboCop fan movie?
I was just thinking that YouTube video where it's RoboCop just shooting like criminals are walking up to him in the junk just constantly because of that one scene. And there's like wave after wave of like just junk shot.
A little bit of history.
Yeah.
Back when the reboot RoboCop movie came out, there was a call out to on the internet for various amateur filmmakers and some semi-professional filmmakers to recreate scenes of the original 80s RoboCop movie, and they spliced them all together, and it's called our RoboCop sequel, or a reboot or something like that. And one of them is probably the most professional of them, because the RoboCop costume they used looked like it was pulled right out of the movie, and it's the one where RoboCop shoots the two guys assaulting that woman in their junk.
For some reason, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that was done by Astron 6, the guys that did Manborg, and they do a bunch of like super low budget. What was the other one they did? They did Father's Day, which was picked up by Troma and distributed through them, but they do like super ultra low budget, like everything on a green screen kind of.
I don't really remember, but this one, like, it looked like if you hadn't known what you were watching, like when the scene first opens up, you would have thought it was the scene in the movie.
Legitimate RoboCop. Right.
My favorite scene in RoboCop is when he dissolves a hostage situation by exploding through a wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy that takes over City Hall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's a super good movie,
It's like so 80s.
And you know what the satire in it, if you just kind of peel back the top layer of like, oh, it's a cop movie about a guy who's a robot.
Yeah,
like the satire
it's not
about
as dumb
it,
as
like,
it
oh, it's incredibly smart. Yeah. It's just like,
oh yeah, especially like the commercials that are like thrown through the middle of the movie.
Yep. Those are I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh man, those are I use that quote constantly and no one gets it.
Oh, well, you're hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. At least Smash TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh man, that RoboCop sequel.
All right, well, hey, that's my check it out, RoboCop.
Yeah, we got to talk about RoboCop, so I'm cool with that.
I'm good with it, yeah.
So, let's talk about Hogwarts Mystery, the new Harry Potter mobile game.
Let's talk about it.
That I've been playing for, what has it been out for, a week now?
I think so, yeah.
Don't get it, because it's pure evil.
Really?
It's not completely irredeemable. There's a cool story hiding in there, and the presentation and the graphics are good.
Are the voice acting, is that good as well?
It's just little clips and noises.
Gotcha.
It's not like whole lines. Like occasionally you get a couple voices or like a
good job.
Yeah. Or like a grunt. I don't know. Well, that's for Snape. Snape just makes a lot of disapproving noises.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And that's accurate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He sounds like a Banjo-Kazooie character. No, it's not that frequent.
Can he do an impression?
Perfect. Yeah.
So he's Squidward?
You know, actually thinking about it,
they're the same.
They're kind of the same character, aren't they? A little bit.
Except I don't think Snape played clarinet and did interpretive dance.
And for what we saw.
I bet he plays clarinet.
Can you imagine Snape doing some interpretive dance?
I mean, he had the most flowy of robes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But question, in the art in the game, is it based off the movies or based off the books? Does Snape have a beard?
No, he doesn't. It's based on the movies.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say it's one-to-one to the movies, though, either. It's kind of got a cartoony look to it that I like.
Like a cartoony movie.
Yeah.
A cartoony movie?
Yeah.
I mean, much like animated movie? Yeah.
I mean, they kind of have a Sims-ish look to them, but I wouldn't say in a bad way.
Mm.
A lot of people use that looks like the Sims as in a way to say it looks bad.
Okay.
But it doesn't look bad.
Yeah. Now, we've said that this game is kind of evil in its, you know, mechanics and stuff. But we haven't really gotten into it. What's going on? What's the skinny on it?
It uses energy. There's not a whole lot of gameplay for one. It's kind of like a Telltale story game.
Okay.
Where you make choices and choose where to expend your energy to do certain things.
Okay.
Remarkably similar to Kim Kardashian's Hollywood, if you remember that game when that came out.
Vaguely, yeah.
It was kind of a big deal when it came out. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It plays a lot like that. Well, exactly like that, actually. You just pick what you want to spend your energy on, and you do that to learn spells or move the story along, which would be fine if it weren't incredibly stingy with the amount of energy you have.
Oh, there's the problem. There's the rub.
Yeah, it's like a Harry Potter book that mugs you while you read it. and not only energy-wise, there's just occasionally points where it's like, all right, either wait 3 hours or pay us $3.
That sucks.
Yeah, which is really lame.
That's super lame.
And it's designed in the beginning so you get a good 10 minutes of gameplay, and then you end up in a closet being strangled by the devil's snare, and that's the point where you run out of energy.
Oh, jeez.
And it's so
manipulative.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta know what's going to happen next, or you are strangled for 3 hours.
Yeah. She sent me a picture of it on the phone. It's like, guess I'm being strangled for 2 hours.
That's squanchy.
Although, you know, some people pay extra for that.
Yeah.
As David Carradine.
Oh! Oh.
Too soon? No, not too soon.
But that's really indicative of the whole game experience, is being strangled by the devil's snare for your money.
Oh,
that's
God.
An abusive relationship.
It is. And even the cosmetic items are too expensive. Like, I had to pay $5 because I wanted my character to have glasses.
I'm still mad at you.
Yeah. This is before I knew the game was garbage. I trusted the brand.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. But I'm like, it's Harry Potter. They wouldn't make a bad Harry Potter game.
And
it turns out they wouldn't.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Do you not remember the ones on the PlayStation 1?
They weren't bad.
They weren't great.
They were all right.
They weren't great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, in this day and age, they wouldn't tarnish the brand with a bad phone game, I wouldn't think.
This day and age, in this region, at this time of year, localized on your phone.
Is this the second week in a row that we've made a steamed hams reference?
I believe it is.
Nice.
Always make the steamed hams reference.
But
it's obviously grilled humor.
But they did tarnish the brand. It is kind of a sore spot on the franchise as a whole that they would make this obviously money-grubbing, predatory game experience.
I wonder what other franchises got. Star Wars.
Pokemon.
Pokemon Go at least has a game.
That's true. There is at least a game there.
Yeah.
And they've actually added enough. We can talk about that a little bit. They've added enough of a game element to it with these...
the field research.
The field research.
I love the field
research.
I love
it. It's got me back in. It's 100% got me back in.
It gets you to do different things in the game that you maybe wouldn't normally be focused on.
I'm going to raid things, and I'm going to fighting gyms and stuff. I never did that stuff before. There was a reason to when they were just out there. I was like, who cares? There's a gym within walking distance of my house. Like, I can walk 2 minutes down the road and there's a gym right there. But I never did it because it's like, what's the point? But
But now you'll get a quest that says go do 2 gym battles, and you go
and
do
then
them,
you go
and
do
you
them.
Get some Pokeballs and whatnot.
Yeah, which hey, you know, that's stuff.
Man,
I don't have to buy. So.
I have not played Pokemon Go since it was still hot fire when it first came out.
I would jump back. I would try it out.
Yeah,
I would jump back in.
I don't have the free time to do it right now.
You don't need it. You just you open it up for 2 minutes. You flick a
chuck
couple
some
balls.
Chuck,
yeah.
Well, last time I checked, the only Pokemon that were around my house in the vicinity of my couch were Weedles and Rattatas.
There's, it's all over the place, right? Couch. This month is all fighting types. So the, like, yeah. There's a bunch of Machaps. And they've added, they're up to Gen 3, so there's like Makuhitas, the guy who looks like E. Honda.
There's so many gens in there now that you can get a lot more experience points than you used to be able to.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I would, even if you don't stick with it, I would at least re-download it and check it out at least for like 5 minutes. I bet you'd be back in.
Yeah, I concur. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth jumping back in. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, I never would have thought I'd say that. I thought I was 100% done, but no.
Oh, man. Remember when they had that Pokemon Fest?
Oh, God. Oh. Pokemon Fest. You know what?
In Chicago?
I bet if they tried to do that now.
I don't know, man. I heard they're like in the process of getting sued real hard about that.
Well, yeah. But I mean, knowing now what they did wrong, they could probably turn it around and do it right. Now, what they've been doing instead of like Pokemon Go Fest, they've started these community days once a month. Where for like, it's a Saturday afternoon from like 1 to 3, well, in our region it'd be 1 to 3, or like noon to 3 or something like that. They make one like spotlight character that is like, will pop up just constantly. And
everything's worth double. It's like Pokemon Happy Hour.
Yeah, basically. And that's like when you end up leveling up. And, well, that's when I got the Dragonite.
Yeah.
And this one is on the 19th, I think. And it is Charmander's. So there's going to be a million Charmanders all over the place.
I've been working on a Charizard since the game came out.
Same here. So, yeah. So, finally get that.
Man, do you remember how exciting that was when that first came out?
Oh,
we walked around the block.
Seeing everybody out everywhere.
That was so amazing.
That was the greatest thing in the world.
It was.
It was so amazing to see everyone outside enjoying the same game. Like, legitimately. It was the closest we'll ever get to world peace.
Right. Yeah.
And portable phone chargers were flying off the shelves. Yeah.
No kidding, right? I will say that is how it is down in Columbus during the Pokemon Go community days. I went down to Goodale Park last month when it was Bulbasaur's, and there's like 5 or 6 different stops in Goodale Park, and there was, no joke, about 200 people in the park.
Oh, wow.
Playing Pokemon Go, just walking around, having fun, talking to each other. There were dogs running all over the place. It was great. I fought a Gengar. It was awesome.
I remember when it first came out, and the park where we do our LARPing in Columbus, the shelter that we use is actually a Pokestop.
Okay, yeah.
And we were throwing lures out and using them to lure people in to watch us.
Nice.
Seriously, they were like nerds falling out of trees. It was ridiculous.
Oh, I bet.
We'd be sitting there, we'd be taking like a water break or something, and all of a sudden you hear like the bushes rattle, and here comes like 4 people. I'm like, jeez. It was nuts.
Let's see, what else we got?
Well, you're telling me a little bit about that doc, right? Go ahead.
There's a Harry Potter game coming out by Niantic here eventually.
Right,
Hopefully they do better than Hogwarts Mystery is.
Well, here's hoping we can get our... wizard balls, and we can chuck them and try to level up our Harry Potters or something. Yeah.
That's the thing, ever since Pokemon Go came out, people are like, where's Harry Potter go? And I'm like, how do these two things correlate at all?
Yeah. But they're going to have to somehow.
Yeah.
If Niantic's doing it.
Maybe you'll be hunting down magical beasts.
Well, probably.
Well, whatever it is, it's got to be better than Garfield Go. did you play Garfield
Yes,
Go?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
You throw lasagnas into a bowl.
Uh-huh.
What is that hot garbage?
Oh, it was a wonderful game where you tried to catch a single panels of old Garfield strips. And when you get all 3, you unlock it in, like, the gallery mode so you can read old strips.
It's a real game.
It's a real game. It's a real thing.
You literally throw slices of lasagna into a Garfield dish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Garfield Go.
My soul burns just thinking about it.
I'll have to give props to Garfield for being the first one to like jump on a clone of Pokemon Go.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm really surprised you don't see
more
of
them.
Though.
But here's the thing, though. Pokemon Go itself is almost a direct copy of another game that Niantic made.
Yeah.
That Ingress, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's where they got all the data for the different stops.
Yeah, and it was like there were people who played both that could like manipulate the system and knew where the best Pokemon catches were because it matched certain points in Ingress.
They're doing a Ghostbusters one that I'm very excited for because that franchise makes sense with the formula.
That one actually does. You throw a ghost trap out.
Yeah, you catch the ghost super good. Trap out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Now, is it based on... The only thing that would make it even better is if it were based on real Ghostbusters, like the animated series.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It might. It's. I'll bet they maybe take it, the comics. They do kind of like the comics.
Well, that's okay. That's not bad. That's not bad.
You know what I miss?
I hope it's Zach Baggins.
God.
That's
Ghost Bros.
That's Ghost Hunters. Or no, Ghost Adventures. That's Ghost Adventures.
Is that the one where they scream all the time?
They scream all the time on all of them.
Yeah.
Although Zach Baggins has gone from like weird frat bro to just like straight up weirdo.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the newer Ghost Adventures, like he's just gotten real weird. He wears like these big old, was it Terry Richardson glasses and like talks about energies. It just used to be a bunch of frat bros being afraid of a snake in a building.
Oh, man. I remember the height of, like, the Ghost TV series.
Yeah, I used to watch Ghost Adventures. Or not Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters a lot.
Oh, yeah, lots of... And I would always catch, like, their, like, live, like, Halloween.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love those.
So stupid, but, yeah, it's fun.
Oh, man, they'd get, like, celebrity guests in those later years.
Yeah, a lot of wrestlers getting scared of ghosts.
Nice, nice. So, Cody, you were also telling me about you watched a doc about crazy names or
last
something?
Last night, we watched a documentary called The Strange Name Movie, and it was interviews with people with, like, weird and comical names.
Okay.
Like, give me some examples.
Yeah, hit me with a few.
Did you write your
name? I didn't bring the paper up.
Then what's the point of writing them down?
I forgot the paper.
That's a weird name.
Listen, mistakes were made.
But people with names like Smokey Bacon...
Okay.
Or Linda Slutsky.
Barb Dwyer.
Barb Dwyer.
Barb Dwyer. Like it. Like it.
There's Tim Burr.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Larry Putz.
Jeff Studley.
Yeah, Jeff Studley was the one. And it's just about their lives. Like
are they legit named this?
Yeah.
Or is this all these people who changed their names?
No, this is their real legal names.
These are people who parents thought they were real clever.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a whole family of Donald Ducks.
Yeah, there's three generations of Donald Ducks.
Oh, wow. Although, if my last name was Duck, I mean, come on. Although it would be Daffy, it wouldn't be Donald.
Scrooge.
It'd be Scrooge.
This is my son Scrooge.
Yeah.
McDuck.
Yeah, Scrooge. Yeah, that's it. Or like if my last name was Mallard, you know a kid would be named Drake.
Drake.
Drake Mallard. Darkwing Duck.
Let's
He's the terror
dangerous.
That flaps in the night.
The gum that gets stuck to the bottom of your shoe.
Does anybody know that rapper Drake's last name? Is it Mallard?
I'm going to say it's Mallard.
Okay.
Either that or Mick Wheelchair because of how he was, on Degrassi as the wheelchair kid.
I did not know that.
Yes, Drake was the wheelchair kid at Degrassi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
How'd he get his legs to function again?
How did Barbara Gordon get it done?
Well... That's actually a good question.
Hashtag comics.
Yeah.
It's like that kid on Glee that looked exactly like me. There was a kid in a wheelchair on Glee that looks exactly like me. Or at least a younger me.
I know who you're talking about.
It was terrifying.
Completely forgot about that.
Yeah. It's okay. At least you don't look like Sean Astin.
Hey. Hey.
Also a guy who was named Sam in a movie.
Yeah.
Hey, Samwise Genji is a true hero.
He loved his potatoes.
He also scared away a bunch of orcs with a frying pan.
Yeah, well.
But it was a very entertaining movie, if only to giggle at people's names.
That's true, yes.
But it gave a little of their perspective in what it's like to live with the...
An odd name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what it was like growing up. And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Short story is, children are cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a basketball player whose last name was the F word.
What?
Yeah.
College basketball player.
Yeah, he was from, I forget where, like Brazil, maybe?
I think.
Oh, wow.
I know. And his last name was
pronounced Fook.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's spelled.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. As we dance around.
We're dancing around it for live radio.
But there was pictures of like the scoreboard where they put their names and it just got the F word on it.
pretty funny.
It was an entertaining documentary. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
My mom's just like, change your name.
Well, Josh, do you have anything?
There was two guys named Donald Trump.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, which is probably a lot harder now than it ever was before.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I saw this mini documentary a long time ago about the school principal. His name was Harry Potter.
There was a guy named Harry Potter in this too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
He was the older dude, so it didn't affect him until later in life.
Yeah, well. You know, being named Harry Potter, that's not terrible. As far as names go, that's not bad.
I think he got out of a traffic ticket because of it, didn't he say?
I think someone else.
Or that was somebody else.
No, it was Putz.
It was
I'm giving you warning because you're a Putz.
Wow.
Yeah. So Josh, do you have anything for the check it out? We only have a couple minutes here, but
More God of War.
Cool.
More
cool.
Slaying monsters.
Excellent.
More disapproving yelling matches with my adolescent archer child.
Your lippy son.
My lippy son, who now has magical powers.
He's a magic lippy boy.
He is a magic lippy boy who shoots magic arrows like he's freaking Princess Zelda.
Nice.
They're literally light arrows.
Nice.
Cool.
The silver arrows.
And they can stun enemies. It's fantastic. I leveled up a bunch of my barehanded fighting, and I went into a whole group of enemies just punching them. Not even using the axe because they stun, and then when you stun, you can do your horrible execution moves.
Oh, jeez.
And I found an exploit that's so bad. Enemies won't hit you while you're in the middle of your animation of ripping their friends apart.
Kind of like Doom.
Yeah, kind of like Doom. Yeah, I'm just hitting these guys until I get the little marker above their head, and I'm like, your day's done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I literally just went through 15 guys, split.
I heard there's a knockoff Infinity Gauntlet in it.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I haven't seen
it. Well, I think it's a secret item.
Oh.
And you can actually get gems that slot into it that are kind of like the Infinity Stones.
Interesting.
Interesting. Indeed.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Infinity Stones, I should mention we're probably next week going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War.
We're gonna go full spoiler.
Full spoiler. It's been out for 2 weeks. We gotta talk about this thing because I'm burning. I gotta talk about it. So this is your warning. See it in the next week. Everybody, go watch it.
Honestly, you're already on thin ice because the internet's gotten pretty spoiler heavy the last couple days.
It's been how's it been, Josh?
It's been rough. It's been rough.
Yeah.
A lot of crumbly people memes.
Yeah.
Oh my
word.
Well, at this point, let's leave it there. We'll come back to it in a week. So
Let's see here. Sea of Thieves had a slight update where they added some cosmetic items and moved some stuff around to make it less annoying.
Cool. Good.
Like bells and boxes, so you're not constantly hitting them when you're trying to do something else.
I'm glad they're still taking care of that game. That game has incredible potential, and I hope they...
Oh, yeah. Oh, they did something else that I think is going to promote seeing more people kind of out and about. They, instead of going to any outpost and being able to buy everything in the game in one place, certain items are only available at certain outposts.
Hmm.
So now you have to actually travel to certain areas to get what you want.
That seems like something that would make the game more fun, but people would complain about because they don't understand game design.
Right.
Yeah. And then hopefully here soon we should be getting our first big content update with the Hungering Deeps. Going to be like a big event with a huge amount of player cooperation against an AI enemy.
Okay,
cool.
Okay,
cool.
Supposedly it's maybe evil mermaids. Don't know yet.
Oh, that'd be so rad.
So
man,
good.
The game makes me want to buy Xbox so bad.
Or you just play it on PC.
I know, but it doesn't run very... I don't know.
You could probably get a better PC for cheaper.
I can get it if I wait for a half off day at half price books. I can probably get an Xbox for $100.
I mean, you're not wrong.
That's good. That's actually a good deal. Yeah.
Point, counterpoint, let's go to break.
All right. Yeah. Like you mentioned, let's go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, we have a couple of news items. We also have that interview with Josh Nealis from Cutthroat Comics. So stick around. Hey, we're back. That was a cover of More Than a Feeling by Ninja Sex Party. We love that band. I wish we could play some of their original content.
Yeah, no.
I really do. But there's no way we can get away with it on air.
Impossible. We can't even play Starbomb on here.
Yeah, no.
Hot take. I like that version of More Than a Feeling more than the Boston version.
You know, I listened into it once or twice. It's right there with me.
I don't really care for Boston, to be completely honest.
There you go. Well, we're back from the break, and we have a couple of news items, but I think what we're going to do first is get into this interview that we've been hyping a little bit. We got a chance to talk with Josh Nealis, who is a comic creator based out of Findlay, Ohio. He is the owner and operator of Cutthroat Comics. He has a bunch of comics as well as full-blown novels and short stories that he has produced. And yeah, let's go right into the interview and, you know, see what he has to say. Hey, so we're here today with Josh Nealis from Cutthroat Comics, a local comic book and novel distributor and creator out of Findlay, Ohio. Josh, how you doing, man?
Oh, not too shabby, I suppose.
Good, good. We brought you on today to kind of go over, talk a little bit about local comics and, you know, your books and independent comics in general and novels and doing things independently. The first question I have for you is, first question I have for everybody who's in comics, how did you originally get into comics? Were you a fan of them when you were younger, or is that something you just kind of jumped into later on in life?
Kind of both, sort of. So obviously as a kid, I used to spend couple weeks in the summers down at my dad's in Kentucky, and I would stay with my aunt some nights with my cousin, and we'd go into this gas station, you know, and we'd have 10 bucks that our grandma gave us or whatever, and we'd buy pop and candy, and there'd always be comics sitting on the rack, and me and my cousin started picking them up, you know, and reading them and stuff. And then of course you know, about the early to mid 90s hit, and you had Spider-Man and X-Men on Saturday morning cartoons and all that. You know, started getting into it from there, and I collected comics pretty seriously as a kid a little bit, you know, more just picking them up off the stands, but, and then, what was it, it was a few years, well, it was like, 4 years ago, I was at my normal job, my band had broken up, I was doing these movie reviews for this webpage that I used to have, and I was not satisfied with that. It wasn't creative enough. And one day I had an idea, like just this real stupid idea for a comic book, and here we are. That's pretty much.
Well, that's excellent. So, I think just about every comic book fan, if anyone who's read comics as a kid, has at one point or another gone, you know what? I can do this. So, what was the process of like actually jumping into it, like making that jump from going, this is something I would really like to do, to now where you have multiple comics that you, you know, you take around to, you know, you sell online, and you, I assume you take them to, like Free Comic Book Day that's coming up, and like, yep. Print copies and stuff like that. What's the process? Cause I'm incredibly curious about that.
Well, okay. So, I mean, there's 1,000 ways I can answer this.
Sure.
So with anything in life, especially when you're doing creative stuff, I think the rule of thumb is 1,000 hours, right? Okay. I've heard comedians say, 1,000 hours on stage before you get good at it. Bands, 1,000 hours playing and practicing before you get good at it. You know, and it varies from person to person. So I've probably got, I'm not even at 1,000 hours writing, but I think I've gotten pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. As my comics have come along, the writing has gotten better as far as story and character development. Mm-hmm. And that includes the real books that I've written as well. And then as far as the writing process of a comic goes, like I'm writing Stingray 2 right now. And actually, while I was waiting for you guys to call, I was sitting here storyboarding. So I can't draw at all. Like I draw a stick figure and you think it's a hippo. Like it's awful. But so I do the storyboarding and then I write a little script. And then I found a guy. He's from Italy and he draws and colors my books. So I send that to him. He always sends me back an LOL, stop drawing, and then he puts it together. I approve the drawings, then he goes to color, and that's where it gets a little tricky, because once he colors it, if it's wrong, it's done, and he has to start over.
Right, yeah.
So you got to be real, real focused on what you're doing, so that's how the comics get made. I mean, once it's done, I send it off to this printer, they print it, send it to me, and there it is, and okay. This is... You're looking at 5 months probably per comic.
Really? Okay, that's really not that bad of a turnaround, honestly. I mean, for doing it pretty much just, you know, just you and one other guy, basically.
Yep.
I mean, that's really great. Now, how did you get hooked up with your artist?
Cristiano Reyna?
That's it, yes.
Think,
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it. I've never even spoken to him like we're speaking.
Oh, really? Oh, so, wow.
That's interesting. Yeah,
it's all through Facebook Messenger and email.
Huh.
But so I started the Cutthroat Comics Facebook page, and before Facebook changed some things, you were able to like other pages through your page and share and all that kind of stuff. And I was doing this thing where I was sharing other pages. They were sharing mine, trying to gain followers and all that. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to come across him. And I had a guy that was here in Findlay that was going to do it for me. And that just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And I had seen some of Cristiano's work. And I was like, man, this guy's pretty good. I was like, I wonder what his rates are. And then we started talking. And I was like, damn, this dude's from Italy. I didn't even know that. And he speaks all right English. Sometimes it's a little tough. But his rates were pretty good. I had him do two character designs, which were Stingray and Snapdragon from Stingray issue 1.
Okay.
And that worked really well. I mean, it didn't take us long to throw that together. And then he did the full book, and now he's done all three of them. And we have, I think, at least 3 to 4 more planned with him.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Now, cool. How much of the design process of the characters in the books does he have? Now, do you have, like, you mentioned that, you draw a stick figure and... You know, that's basically, like, do you have like an outline of how you would like the character designed, or do you give him more kind of carte blanche on what the designs of, say, the Ginger Avenger or Stingray or what have you?
It's kind of a mixture. So sometimes I'll have a really focused dial in, what I want, and I'll try to give him, I'll pull up Google and put like, this type of sword or this color hair or this type of beard, and I'll throw that on the script so it's right there in front of him.
Okay.
Actually, the Ginger Avenger, it's really funny, okay? Mm-hmm. So my band, Until Forever, were broken up. If you go and look at the Facebook page and find the singer...
So it took me a bit, but I found the Until Forever Facebook page here, and yeah, I think the lead singer kind of looks a little familiar.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Wow, all right. Okay, well, that's cool. That's really cool that you're able to kind of use that as kind of an visual inspiration for the character.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily want him to look just like that. And actually, I told him when I first got the very first colored picture of Ginger Avenger, I sent him a text with the picture. I said, this wasn't supposed to look like you, but here we are.
Oh, that's awesome. We've mentioned a couple of your books, Stingray and Ginger Avenger, and right now they both have, along with your other comics up there, they have issue ones now, and you mentioned that you're going to be working on others now. Are these all part of, like, shared universes are really popular these days with, like, the Marvel movies and, like, everything that they're trying to do, try to interconnect every single little thing in subtle ways. Do you think now that you have a couple of, series kind of under your belt, that there is kind of interconnected kind of crossover universe sort of situation, or is it kind of all independent kind of stories?
Well, how do you know I haven't had that planned all along? Actually, I take it even further than that, actually. Now, if you read every single thing that I've written and then read it again, you're going to find Easter eggs upon Easter eggs upon Easter eggs. Pretty much everything I've written is based in the same city.
Okay.
That's true.
Which is Brothel City.
Yeah.
And then the characters, they talk about, like, there's this park, everybody goes to this park, or there's this diner or this bank or whatever. Everybody kind of walks around and runs into the same places. So I don't sit there and say, like, oh, they all live in Brothel City. But if you read it, like, there's one, there's a very rude story I have in my short stories book. And it's about, it's kind of like an animal farm style. This hunter goes to Africa to hunt, and then the animals turn on him, basically. So the animals could talk in this one. And the lion, who's an African lion, has an Australian accent. And in my newest book, there's actually a line about a lion having an Australian accent. So there's a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, interesting.
In all my books.
Yeah, very interesting. That's actually kind of leads me into the other thing I wanted to ask you about. Beyond the comics through Cutthroat, you also write full-blown novels. How is the process different between writing novels and short stories as opposed to scripting comics and storyboarding that out for your artist?
I mean, it's amazingly different. I mean, it's... So, for instance, my first book, I wrote it, I think, in 10 months, okay? I just finished the sequel to that. I mean, that book sold really well. I was actually really surprised with how well that sold. And pretty much everybody was like, you can't leave it like that. You have to do another. So I did. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agreed with him. I was like, I can do more and add on to it. So the second book, I mean, it took me over a year. I mean, it was so hard just to come up. I mean, you think about the book reports you had to do in school where you had to talk for 3 pages about The Hobbit or whatever. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of content in The Hobbit. You know, that's probably 300 pages or whatever or more. You know, you can shrink that down to 3 pretty easy with a synopsis. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had to take the synopsis and turn it into 300 pages or 250 pages. I mean, it's luckily my real job. I drive around. So all I do is I think about jokes. I type them in my phone. I come home and I make that joke fit in the story. So I tell all my friends that are friends with me on Facebook. My books are basically just a super extended version of one of my Facebook posts.
Okay. Okay, cool. That's a really good way to write it. I mean, having a lot of time, downtime to kind of, you know, formulate ideas and stuff. That's interesting. That's really, really interesting.
Oh yeah. I mean, it takes a lot, man. I mean,
I'm sure.
And I can tell you right now, I'm watching NFL Network. It's on mute right now, but, you know, you think about a football player at the end of their season, you know, think about how tired they are mentally, physically and all that. Mm-hmm. After I'm done writing a book, I need like 2 weeks. Just to like chill. I mean, it's mentally draining.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay, so we've talked about the process of getting the comics made, writing the comics, writing novels and stuff like that. Because it's Free Comic Book Day and everything, I want to talk a little bit about how you go about distributing your comics. How do you get your stuff out there? Because, you know, there are a lot of independent creators, a lot of independent people, not just in comics, but, you know, just different creative medias in general who have many, many different ways of like trying to get their stuff out there. What have you found that works best for you?
Well, I mean, you got to do what you're comfortable with. Okay. So like a lot of people use Kickstarter and stuff like that. GoFundMes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, to each their own. I'm not comfortable with that, if that makes sense. And I may do a Kickstarter at some point because you can offer incentives. So that's a little different than like a GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. But my personality is I've worked for everything I have. Okay, so I'll put in the work before I'll accept money from somebody with a promise to give them something back later, if that
sure.
makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
That being said, you know, anymore, I think I've got like 5 total comic shops right now that are carrying my comics and or books. 6 if you count books, because I have a bookstore here in Findlay that carries just the books.
Oh, okay, great.
But it's tricky because it's such a small business and you don't want to overextend yourself. You have to grow at a nice rate. So, you know, right now I have 5. You know, after I do a few more appearances, I might approach more comic shops and grow. You have to grow slowly because, you know, and a lot of these places, they do, they don't just buy my books outright, you know, at this mm-hmm. point. I'm still small, you know. I don't have people walking into comic shops going, you got the new Stingray 1? I've never heard of it, but I'm just guessing there's one here. But, you know, so they do consignment. So, you know, they take a cut of the sale.
Right.
So that leaves me in the hole. You know, I'm sitting on that money that's not even here. You know, it's in Toledo or Columbus, you know. So that's tough too. I mean, it's for me, the hardest part of this is branding my company mm-hmm. as well as promoting myself.
Right.
That's been the trickiest part. When do I do which and how?
Exactly. And, you know, I know here on our show, we've run into some issues with that as well, trying to find where the fine line is between, you know, promoting ourselves and overexposure and that sort of thing. So I definitely can feel how that trying to go slowly and methodically and trying to get yourself out there
or just branding is
or
tough.
Branding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, luckily I have a pretty awesome logo.
Yeah,
it's a really great logo.
It is a good one. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, I made that.
Oh, you did?
So you know, that was me.
Excellent. All right. So we've talked a little bit about the Ginger Avenger. That is your most recent comic that has been released. For the listeners at home who hear that and go, okay, obviously he's a redheaded guy, but did he say Avengers or something? What's the elevator pitch for that comic?
You know, it's kind of a tough one. So I usually start with, and I've only had this at one con so far. Mm-hmm. So as I go to more cons and stuff with it, I'll lock it down exactly what I want to say. Mm-hmm. Ginger Avenger is the first family-friendly comic released by Cutthroat Comics. And I'm actually really proud of that because you guys have read some of my stuff. You know how hard it must have been for me to hold back on the cursing.
A little, yeah.
So, you know, and I have a children's book out as well, which was also extremely difficult for me to write. But I did it. But Ginger Avenger basically is this archaeologist, and he stumbles across this like kind of enchanted cave in Ireland. And he is startled and falls into the water where the cave itself, kind of like how Thor's hammer is like only worthy to him. So this cave will pick the next Ginger Avenger.
Okay.
Basically. So, and he's chosen, he's transformed, into the Ginger Avenger. Then he has this small child, who's the person that startled him into the water that you find out has basically been around since the time of Jesus, and he's seen and done some pretty incredible things throughout the book. I do like some flashbacks on him so you can get context, and those stories will develop later as well. So, but then, I mean, it's an origin issue, and it's hard to, that's the tricky part, is I'm doing origin issues, and now when I get into 2 and 3 and 4 of the issues, then everything can develop and you can see the big picture, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. I know writing origins, that has to be really tough. Do you have a like a finite story set for Ginger Avenger or Stingray or your other comics, or is it like as long as you can keep coming up with ideas for them, you'll keep producing them?
Well, I was going to do this thing where I had this like alien with this awesome glove come around and he's like trying to kill everybody. But I heard that that's been done.
Yeah.
So well. I had to like scribble out my dry erase. I was like, damn it. But, no, I've got a rough idea of what I want to happen.
Okay.
And like I said, all these people live in the same world. And once you read all three books, all three comics, you're going to start seeing Easter eggs.
Okay.
So everything's going to come together. Let's just say the one squirrel that gets kicked into outer space has a big, big part in things.
Right. Well, I'm really looking forward to checking that out and seeing where everything goes. Josh, thank you again for coming on the show. Before I let you go, do you have anything you'd like to plug, at like appearances, anything like that that's coming up?
No, I don't.
No.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff lined up for this year, and I can't see my whiteboard from where I'm sitting. I do know that Free Comic Book Day is this Saturday, so whether you guys decide to run this now or later, I will or will have been at Cameron's Comics and Stuff in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
I'll be there 10 to 1, signing books, selling books, shaking babies. and then also, you guys may have heard that Wizard World is coming around June 8th, 9th, and 10th in Columbus.
That's right, yeah.
I'll be at that.
Oh, okay, great. Cool. Well, Josh Nealis, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, man. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Hey, we're back. That was the interview with Josh Nealis. Cool guy.
Really good cool interview. Guy. Yeah. Yeah, really glad we got a chance to talk to him. You know, it was really interesting getting to hear about, you know, the process of independent comic.
Yeah, really impressive that he juggles all those things at once.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just him and the other guy, that artist out of Italy. Out of all places, it's pretty wild.
And even the selling and the distribution and all, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really glad we got a chance to talk to him. Really appreciate him stopping on the show. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into a couple little bits of news. We don't have a ton this week. I think all of media is like taking a breather because of Infinity War.
Yeah.
But there have been a couple like little things. And this first news article is something that... I know Josh and I will probably talk a little bit more about than everyone else. So everyone kick back and relax. It's Power Ranger time.
You're listening to the Go-Go Power Podcast with Sam and Josh.
It's time for your favorite podcast within a podcast, Go-Go Power Podcast.
Perfect.
Oh
my
man.
God, perfect.
Memory. So
yeah, let's hear it first.
Side note.
Okay, side note.
For April Fools, every year within my LARP circles, they create a fake event. Mm-hmm. and it's always some absurd theme mm-hmm. that some people get excited about. This year, the April Fool's theme for the Battle Cry event in September was Power Rangers.
Nice.
And like they full did like a whole event spread with like Photoshop and all kinds of stuff.
Oh man.
My friend of mine his head was Photoshopped in the Zordon tube.
Oh nice.
And his amp guard name is Yorick, but they started calling him Yordon.
Yordon.
People got legit mad that it was a April Fool's gag.
Oh. Well, then you guys are going to just have to turn it into like an actual
event. I know. Last year, I think it was My Little Pony. But but yeah, people were already planning stuff out, and it was like everyone had to form like 5-man teams.
Oh, that's really clever. That's really cool.
That's what you don't do with your April Fool's joke is make something that's legitimately like really awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kept flooding the event page with like pictures of Sentai. I'm like, well, I mean, these guys were better.
Okay, so anyway, this Power Ranger news. We talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago, but a little more information has come out because of it. We had a couple questions about Hasbro had been in talks to acquire the rights, at least at the time we thought, at least the toy distribution rights for the American side of Power Rangers. Power Rangers has traditionally been owned by Saban Brands and has been tied in with Bandai.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hasbro taking over the toy distribution was kind of a big deal, mainly because Hasbro puts a lot more time and effort into their toys than Bandai does.
Has like a ton of like different avenues to take things.
Yes, absolutely. But here within the last week or so, it was officially announced that Hasbro has acquired all of Power Rangers. That's television, movie, every previous scene, any characters created from every previous series, going all the way back to the first season of Mighty Morphin, including the comics. So Lord Draken, everybody's new favorite version of Tommy Oliver, is part of this. Acquired it from Saban Brands for $522 million.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah, I came in like fathom.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. And I know what a lot of people are thinking, that seems like way too much for Power Rangers.
That's what I said.
In the state that it is today. And if it were just like from here going forward, I would absolutely agree with you. That's way too much money. But you have almost, 20, 25 years?
Yeah,
25 years of Power Rangers to like, that they acquired.
That it's an evergreen franchise.
It really
is. It's always been around.
And they're always going to have seasons to adapt. And actually, even with Hyperforce, the tabletop role-playing version, they have proved that they could create a team whole cloth out of nothing and make it compelling enough and people will be into it.
Super original Power Rangers would be amazing.
And hey, mm-hmm. Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Card games?
Yeah. Well, that and D&D.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But no, this is really interesting news. Now, Chaim Saban, the guy who owns Saban Brands, or Saban
you don't
Entertainment,
say.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, right. He is staying on as like a creative consultant for the time being, but I think he's eventually going to be phased out of the process.
We hope.
Yeah.
So he's kind of George Lucas-ing it a little bit?
He's kind of George Lucas-ing it. I bet what I imagine is there's going to be some input by Saban for this next season, the one that's being adapted from GoBusters, which is crazy to me anyway.
Yeah, 12-year-old series.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of, the only reason I could think of why they're adapting it is because the Zords are Transformers themselves.
Yeah.
They are animals that turn into smaller robots that then combine into a bigger robot.
And
so,
guess who makes Transformers?
Exactly.
Hasbro.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's too bad Hasbro's movies are universally pretty much garbage.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. This is like a double-edged sword. Like, we could have great tabletop games. We could have great toys.
Good TV show, even.
Yeah. Probably get a good TV show out of it.
Sure.
But
Hasbro got a bunch of adults to watch, adult males to watch My Little Pony. So, like...
Yeah.
It was true. But at the same time, every Transformers movie has been bad. Both G.I. Joe movies are bad.
The new Power Rangers movie that they just did is better than both of those G.I. Joe movies combined.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Yeah, I'll agree. I mean, not much better, but it is better. this merger is, I think it's ultimately a good thing. I think this buyout is ultimately good. There are a couple questions that I have that I'm a little worried about. One of which being the movies. Will we see a
reboot
of the reboot of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers characters? Will we have another origin movie?
God, I hope not.
As long as they update the costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Or if
actually, yeah, it wouldn't be that bad if they did another reboot movie.
Yeah. I would be okay with it.
It could probably be written better.
Yeah, just don't spend so much time on the origin, because it's not
important.
The
origin is super, yeah, it's not important. It's super easy. You just go, oh, Alien gave them super suits. They fight monsters.
Yeah.
Done. The other thing that I'm a little more concerned about is the comics, because right now all of their comics, both of their series are being produced through Boom Studios, and they are, by and large, pretty excellent. And they just jumped into a big cross-continuity like storyline featuring like Rangers from every era and every dimension.
Yeah, the Shattered Grid or
the
whatever.
The Shattered Grid, because the evil Tommy Oliver from the parallel future where he stayed evil has acquired Saba, the talking sword, and is using it to jump through parallel dimensions and absorbing different Ranger teams' powers. So, like, he is becoming, like, the uber Power Ranger. And that sounds crazy and, like, the best way. It's like people just taking all their action figures and just mashing them together. It's super great.
You know about that.
Which, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, doesn't Hasbro do their comics through Dark Horse?
They do theirs through IDW.
IDW. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. I don't know if the comic rights are going to stay at Boom Studios for an extended period of time. I imagine they're eventually going to go to IDW, and that probably means that these series are just going to flat out end. And they've been good enough that I don't want them to end prematurely, because I can't see the storylines continuing
much longer
from jumping from one publisher to another.
Yeah.
I can think of maybe off of one hand, I can count the times that has happened.
Yeah,
in the history of comics, and it's not great. It never works out. So that's what I'm worried about.
But on the other hand, a lot of the IDW like Hasbro series are pretty good.
Well, yeah,
like by and large, the Transformers is pretty decent. I haven't really read G.I. Joe, so I really don't know.
Yeah.
The revamp of ROM was pretty good.
Oh, I agree. I mean, IDW puts out great books. I'm just concerned that they're
going to lose Kyle Higgins.
They're going to lose Kyle Higgins for sure. They're going to lose a lot of storylines and a lot of character development that they've done with and modernizing and updating the characters and making. He's put a lot of work into updating and making the characters work for a modern audience. And I'm afraid that we're going to lose a lot of that from the jump. That's it for me.
Is IDW who got Sonic?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. But no.
Though. I yes. think Boom does the My Little Pony comics.
No, IDW
does. IDW
do they?
Yeah. Yeah, they started with and then...
Boom does, like Adventure Time and...
Yeah, that's... Yes. Cartoon Network.
Yes, yeah, that's it. But again, these are minor things. I think overall this is going to be a major step forward.
Like I said in the chat the other day when we were first talking about it, and I quote, Dobby is now a free elf.
Yeah.
Under the oppressive boot of... Saban.
Yeah. And Hasbro isn't as litigious.
They're not as litigious, and I'm...
They are litigious.
But
because
not
they
as.
Have to be, but they're not... Like, that thing with...
Fighting is Magic?
No. Well, that they did get litigious on that one, but the thing with Saban and...
Chroma Squad.
That would have never happened.
No, that wouldn't
happen. Hasbro, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, the fact that that was, like, so amount of parody...
Well, then it was just about, it wasn't about Power Rangers,
no.
It was about Sentai in general.
It was different, yeah, it was different enough, but they decided to jump on it.
I just hate the fact that Saban thinks he invented the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like if you were making a detective noir game, and the guy that made Double Indemnity tried to sue you.
That's a
weird metaphor. But
it works. It works in this case.
Anyway.
Anyway.
That's the end of your podcast within a podcast.
That's it. That's
Go
the
Go
end
Power
of it.
Podcast.
Yeah. So
check us every week at Go Power Podcast Never.
Yeah. Right.
Dot never.
Dot never. Yep. Anyway, let's get into our last news topic. And this is a real quick one. I guess DC, their television section of their entertainment.
The good one.
The good portion
the good
of it.
Half.
is starting up an app to do smaller form series and things like that. And one of the major, as well as air old episodes of like Flash and Arrow and stuff like that. And I guess the first major series that is going to be produced exclusively through the DC Universe app is a series based on the character Swamp Thing, which is really cool. I love Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I like Swamp Thing. He's cool.
He's a good swamp boy.
Yeah.
He is. He is being, the series is being spearheaded by James Wan, who is the guy who has been behind behind the Aquaman movie, which is coming up. He's also done a lot of, he's done the
Stinky Ocean Boy.
Let's see, Saw in 2004. He's done a bunch of other, well, actually, you know what? If
the original Saw is a good movie.
Let's see. Some of the major things he's done is The Conjuring, the original Saw, Furious 7. And he's directing Aquaman, so he knows how to do action. He knows how to do horror. Swamp Thing is more of a horror story than it is like an action superhero movie, if you do it right. So, and Swamp Thing has been done multiple times live action.
It's kind of a
action.
Body horror thing.
A little bit, yeah. Was it John Carpenter? No, it couldn't have been Carpenter. Someone did Swamp Thing. Someone important did Swamp Thing, too. Because he's already had a couple of live action films, and he's also had a TV series, if I remember correctly. Wes Craven did the first Swamp Thing movie. Yes, that's what it is. And the Return of Swamp Thing was done by Jim Wynorski. Okay, well, that one's not so great.
Can you imagine a David Cronenberg Swamp Thing?
That would be so weird and great.
Yeah.
So Swamp Thing can be done live action. I think it's a really compelling story. It wouldn't require a lot of action, but you know, in bits, it would be great. And it's one of those where you can introduce the characters but never actually see Swamp Thing until like 3/4 of the way into the series because, you know, he's a monster. You just kind of hear, oh no, something's happening over here, you know.
He's a goopy green man.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited for it. As long as they don't charge for the DC Universe app, I'm definitely going to be into it. There's no word on whether it's actually going to be a pay-for app or not.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion that it will be. It'll probably be like that CBS All Access.
Yeah.
See, probably. I thought, because the thing is, though, like, CW Seed is free, though.
True.
So, I mean, and that's the way it has all the DC TV series right now anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just throw some ads on there. Make it free.
Well, yeah. Mine is, I think, Krypton, because I think Krypton's on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Krypton sucks.
So. Yeah, and Gotham's on Fox.
And Gotham
and it sucks.
So, yeah. But no, I'm into it. I'm excited for it. Do you guys have any other thoughts about it before we wrap the show?
I don't know. I like Swamp Thing, and there's no reason why it wouldn't work.
It'd be nice to see more with him, because the most recent thing in media other than comics that I can think of that he was in, he was in that really bad
Batman Harley Quinn
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah, although, you know, he has been getting a lot of play lately. The Justice League action cartoon.
Oh, yeah, has Mark Hamill Swamp Thing,
which has been great. He was front and center in that Teen Titans Go to the Movies trailer. Did you notice that? Any of the crowd shots?
Like, I didn't see
it. It was like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, like when they're all getting mind wiped at that one shot. It's like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman were like right there in the front line, but like line up right behind him, Swamp Thing's like right there. Because he's so visually interesting. I think. So, yeah, I'm in.
Oh, man. Speaking of, like, DC TV series, do you see, like, the amount of, like, hate the internet gave those, like, candid shots from the Titans set?
Oh, yeah, well.
Like, people flipping out?
People are not going to be happy about those. they made some changes to Starfire that's a certain group of people are not going to be happy with. I don't want to get into it because...
Did they put clothes on her?
They put clothes on her. She's also not orange.
Oh, well, she should be orange.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the problem people are having.
And Beast Boy wasn't green. But anyway, but here's the thing. These were just like shots from the set. These weren't like professional shots.
There's pre-CG.
I'm sure there will be touch-ups done to maybe make her have a more orange glow. You know, things like that.
Or for that matter, they could give her like a throwaway power, like, oh, hey, I
look human.
One of my abilities is I can blend into whatever environment that I land on because I'm from a warrior race.
Like Miss Martian.
Kind of like Miss Martian. I can, you know, blend in and make my orange glow less orangey and underneath I'm black. That's fine. Whatever. That's cool. But there's a certain number of people that are unhappy about that. And that sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
At least Robin looks cool.
Yeah.
Like the one picture I saw of Robin. I'm like, okay, that's
Although he's not going to look like that through the series, I guess from the beginning of season 1 to the end, he has a slow transition from Robin to Nightwing. Mm. Like halfway through the season, he's going to take the mantle Nightwing and divorce himself from like the Batman.
That's fine. I like Nightwing.
I like Nightwing too. Yeah. So anyway, that has been the show. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, because I know you do. Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram. We're there.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com. You
can ask questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll answer them on the show. We did last time.
We did.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify.
Yeah.
Officially, we've made it, guys.
We're good enough for Spotify.
We're good enough for Spotify. That's kind of a big deal. It really kind of is, because they have to handpick the shows to put on their network. So, like...
Somebody at Spotify went, this is not terrible.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take it. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Hey, not terrible. Spotify, but, 2018.
But listen, any different avenue that people can use to get to our show easier, I'm all for. So yeah. Check us out anywhere. Do a search for Nerd Overload. You'll be able to find it. Again, that's been the show. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.